Welcome to Zuma Worldwide's Health Education Conference Call. This recording is for educational purposes only. The name brand products referenced are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate any disease or illness. Health testimonies represent the personal experiences of the individuals and should not be viewed as medical advice. Please enjoy today's call.
And once again, folks, I want to thank you for being here. Again, this is Ken Marsh and Zuma's Health Education Call. Thank you for tuning in live tonight. And we've got some good information coming your way tonight. You know, this is a call that for me personally is one that I've wanted to do for a while. And that is because, you know, if we look around and we were to interview people we know, friends, family members, maybe people we go to church with, people we work with maybe, the reality is a lot of people struggle with something that we kind of take for granted, and that's sleep. Most of us, you know, just understand it's part of living, right? You go to bed every night, and, you know, you get up in the morning. That's just part of life. But the challenge is when you go to bed at night, are you getting the kind of sleep that your body really needs? Are you really getting that deep, restorative, restful sleep that is so critical to good health? So we're going to be talking about sleep tonight. That is the important topic of the evening. And I encourage you to listen in intently. There's going to be some good information coming your way. And like I said, be sure to share this information with others so you think could benefit from it. But tonight I spent some time with a lady who is a great friend to us at Zuma. She spends her day-to-day life helping people just like you guys listening in tonight figure out ways to enjoy more abundant health. And that's through her personal health clinic. She's a naturopathic doctor. She's a member of our scientific advisory board at Zuma. And somebody, like I said, I'm glad to call a friend. So I want to make sure she's out on the line. Dr. Melissa, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. I appreciate you being here tonight, Melissa.
Yes, me too. I was out in the park actually doing a Zumba class. I was standing on the side, though. I wasn't actually in the class, so I looked like I was trying to, like, cheat, but it was a free class.
you were a Zumba spectator.
I was, and participating, but participating way on the side, like in the park with my dog, watching these people, like, all under this little pavilion doing the Zumba, and I was like, this is awesome. So they have free classes every week, so it's really cool. Sorry, that is my dog in the background. I'm going to have to get him.
Obviously,
out.
Your dog is here too, so that's that's apparent. So, Dr. Melissa, we were obviously going to be talking about a very important topic tonight, and I was just mentioning a moment ago, of course, one that I think a lot of us take for granted, or we just don't really think too consciously about it. But, man, anybody I've ever met that doesn't get a good night's sleep, it really bothers them, and it really affects them long term. So I'm glad we're covering this topic tonight. This is an important one.
It is. And, you know, it's one of those things where we just don't really realize how important sleep is. I mean, you hear it all the time, so sometimes it becomes redundant. But at the same time, it's one of those things where it is so crucial to have good sleep. If you don't have it, your entire life really gets off track. And I remember doing a series on the blood type diet. This is a couple of years back, and we were talking about different blood types, and specifically blood type A has issues with cortisol and has really issues with sleep. So if you're a blood type A person and you're not getting sleep, although it's bad, detrimental to every blood type A seem to just, they don't fare well when it comes to that. And I just want to actually tonight really touch on, you know, sleep, and then also some resources and things you can do if you're having problems sleeping, or if you need to share this information with other people that you know are having issues sleeping. And I think it'll help them hopefully get some things they may have not heard of before, because we hear traditional things, but there's some things out there that are not as common, and I hope to share those with you. I read a quote from William Penn, and it says that true silence is the rest of the mind and is to the spirit what sleep is to the body, which is nourishment and refreshment. So when you think about that, it's so important. It's not just about sleep. It's about if we don't get it, we're not getting rest. And rest comes in different forms. It's not just about falling asleep. It's about having rest. Like in the Bible, it talks about, you know, God on the seventh day, he rested. So rest is, like, so important for all of us. And it's really important on a day-to-day basis. And this is one of the major complaints I see when patients come to see me, that it's sleep issues, because they walk in and if they're not sleeping, it's really hard for me to do my job to help get them healthy. So it's just optimal to attaining that, you know, good health. If you don't have sleep, everything else is out. Just like hydration, we talk about that. Hydration and sleep are in par with each other. So if you suffer from like one sleepless night after another, your life is going to be negatively impacted. And staying awake 24 hours, I didn't even realize this too, has the same effect as actually being drunk. So if you had an alcohol level of 0.8%, you're considered legally drunk. If you are sleepy and you are working, and you're in a place where people are depending on you, your performance and your focus is the same as a 0.10%. So it's even more so than actually being legally drunk if you're actually really deprived of sleep. And that, Ken, I was thinking, is really scary when you think about medical residents and hospitals who have to endure like a single shift that can last up to 30 hours. And you're like, oh my gosh, these people are having to take care of people and they're really so deprived of sleep, and it's just really, really not good. So they've done studies on actually women that work the third shift. And one of the studies that's out there is through NCDI, and it showed that women, specifically women, I'm sure it's men too, but primarily women, have a higher incidence of chronic disease processes and obesity. And it was based on their age as well as their gender. And it basically showed that women specifically have higher caffeine intake. They smoke more than those who had never worked on the night shift. And the study showed that those under 25 obviously were associated with fewer risk factors. And this makes sense to me because I'm seeing so many more younger people coming in now between 25 and 35 than I ever have in practice. And I always tell them that when they're in their 20s, it's kind of like they're plastic. So when they're plastic, I can make a little bit of a change, and it can be a small change, but it can make a big impact on them because they're moldable. But then I tell them if they don't take care of themselves, they're going to become cement. When they become cement, it just takes a lot more time to see any health benefits, even with small changes. So it's really important, especially for people that are, you know, younger, when you're not really thinking about your health, to really focus on, you know, getting to sleep, things that, you know, getting into really good lifestyle patterns so that as they age, they can take care of themselves. And I've mentioned this before that sometimes I'll see people that are closer to 70 that are healthier than some of the people that are coming in their 20s because they've taken care of themselves or they've started making lifestyle changes that are baby steps to making sure they're taking care of themselves as they age. And it's just a huge difference. And age is just a number because you'll see different people coming in with different ages and they'll all be at different health statuses. It just doesn't seem to match anymore. Everyone's really mixed up when you're looking at age. But anyway, so I was talking about the older night shift workers. They actually have, obviously, a higher incidence of chronic disease. And when I have patients that do work like a third shift, I'm really setting a goal to keep them as healthy as I can while they're working these hours. So I've found that instead of them getting on caffeine, I try to get them on like Focus Up, you know, to help them stay awake at night. And I know we think of Focus Up in the daytime, but Focus Up at night may prevent them from taking too much caffeine in from other sources, like Red Bull or whatever is out there that's horrible for us. So if you're getting their pH balance with X2O and putting them on Focus Up, I think that would be great. And I'm sure the people in the study I was talking about, they just didn't have any healthy options like we do through Zuma. So I always tell patients or that are on Zuma products or even those out there right now who are listening, if you know someone who works that shift, introducing them to Focus Up and X2O can really improve their quality of life. And it just helps with what's called their circadian rhythm. And everybody has heard of that word, circadian, but no one really knows what it means. Most people think, well, it has to do when you wake up and when you go to sleep. but it's not. It's a rhythm that actually goes 24 hours. So it's your body's molecular clock, and many of your biological processes, they kind of go up and down, and they rise and fall over a day. So when you think of that circadian rhythm, it's not just about sleep, but it includes the fluctuation of your body temperature, your cortisol, which is your stress hormone, and nighttime melatonin production. So it's really important, because if you don't have this working, this clock, everything else can really get out of balance, because you have many of these proteins and enzymes that make your body fluctuate over this 24-hour period come into play at different times of the day. So, if, for example, if you're drinking milk during the day, which some people can, some people genetically can tolerate that, other people can't, it produces, your body's going to produce something called lactase, and that's an enzyme that breaks down lactose in milk. But at night, when you're sleeping, since you're not drinking or eating, you're not going to need that actual thing to happen. So many processes in the body have to occur while you're in that awake cycle, and others have to happen when you're asleep. So that means if you mess with your circadian rhythm, you're going to have significant consequences on your long-term health, and not just your health physically, but your mental well-being. So I think about when I travel. So now I traveled to California. I went out for a seminar one time. I woke up at, I think, 3 or 4 in the morning. I thought it was time to get up. I got up. I took a shower. I woke up the entire office. I called everyone. I'm like, meet me in the lobby. I go, and they're like, what? They're like asleep. I'm awake. I get down to the lobby, and I'm like, there's people. Like, I was in actually Las Vegas. People were gambling, but it was like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was totally messed up. We weren't supposed to get to our seminar until like 7. So it's not good. If you travel long distances, you can experience something called jet lag, and you feel really awful, and it's kind of like being hit by a train. So jet lag makes you feel really mentally foggy. Obviously, waking people up at that time was not good. You'll feel physically drained, and you can feel kind of nauseous. You don't feel that great when you have jet lag. And your mood can really be bad. Now, if you think about jet lag, but then you do this on a regular basis because you're not getting enough sleep, you're constantly going to stay in a place of not feeling 100% because the circadian rhythm is constantly out of sync. So you're going to find yourself sleepy during the day, or you're just going to find yourself low energy. And when you find yourself that way, you have to kind of backtrack and go, what's going on with my sleep patterns? I personally have a dog that you heard in the background, and that dog, Ken, wakes me up, or used to wake me up. He tries to now, but waking me up every night at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm basically sleepwalking him down the stairs, and I kind of put him on my hand like he's like a platter of food, walking him down the stairs. And I'm like, what the heck am I doing? Because I'm with patients the next day, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm getting sleepier. Now, it didn't happen right at the beginning. I was able to walk him down the stairs for a couple of months. But as soon as my circadian rhythm got off, then I'm like, oh, my goodness, I can't keep doing this. So now I just ignore him, and he doesn't have any accidents or anything at night, because I know he really never had to go potty. I think he just liked being carried down the stairs like a platter of food, and that was his entertainment. And so I had to cut that out. But I didn't realize, you know, it's the little things that sneak up on you. You can handle it for a while, but after a while, that circadian rhythm is going to get off, and then everything else starts to kind of fall apart. So you got to really be careful and watch out for your habits. And I didn't realize this either, that there's about 70 million Americans that actually do have sleep disorders. And out of the 70 million, 30% of those have been diagnosed with insomnia. And if you look at the amount of money, I was researching this, it's estimated that there's a total of $63 billion for the entire United States that was lost in work productivity per year because of insomnia. So lack of sleep not only affects you as a person, but it also affects society in general. So it's also linked to depression, anxiety disorders, and this is just lack of sleep, not just insomnia, bipolar disorders, ADHD, and your immunity, which has been so important during this time over the past 2 years, it'll actually will affect your immunity. It increases your appetite and your craving, so you'll see changes in weight. You'll also see more signs of aging, such as wrinkles, and chronic inflammation. So it's not getting enough sleep is not just about, you know, not getting enough rest. It's about affecting every part of your body, every part of your life. So what do you do when this happens? So you find yourself not being able to go to sleep. There's a lot of medical interventions that can be done. So you can also look into those because they are helpful. There's something called cognitive behavior therapy. If you find yourself or your spouse not sleeping well, they're not breathing well, they can have a sleep study. When I was taking some classes at Emory, I found that the sleep study center came in and spoke to our class, and they were talking about there's other options besides using the CPAP machine all the time. There's a dentist that actually developed a little device that fits into the mouth, and you can put it in the mouth, and it helps regulate without using the whole, you know, CPAP machine that some people would feel is uncomfortable. Although those things are getting smaller and smaller now, so they're not as bad. But if you're finding your spouse or yourself not getting enough oxygen when you're sleeping, that's been linked to higher suicide rates. It's just not good. So you got to really pay attention when you're not sleeping well. Obviously, there's over-the-counter medications. There's prescription sleeping pills. But I'm a naturopathic doctor, so I leave the medicine to the medical professionals, and I really try to focus on natural alternatives to help you get a really good night's sleep. So let's say you're a patient and you come in my office, and I'm going to sit down with you, and I'm going to talk about what's called sleep hygiene. So I'm going to look at your bedtime routine, and I'm going to make sure that you're not doing anything that can inhibit a good night's sleep. So the first thing I'm going to ask you is, you know, what time are you going to bed? And most adults need between 7 and 9 hours of sleep per night. So you're going to find out the older you get, the less sleep you may need. That's because there's a decrease in melatonin. I'll go into that. And women may need a little bit more sleep than men do. So the best way to calculate this is determine, well, what time you wake up in the morning and factor in that you need at least 5 to 6 90-minute sleep cycles, and you give yourself about 15 minutes to fall asleep. So, for example, if you wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and you go to bed at 9:45, you're going to get about 6 cycles of good sleep. And if you go to bed at 11:15, you're going to get about 5 cycles. So as you push that over midnight, you're going to get less and less cycles of sleep. And I always think that 5 to 6 cycles, that's a good amount of sleep, and I always recommend trying to get to bed before midnight. Now, some people are just night owls. I'm one of them. I love sitting up late, but at the same time, I know how crucial it is to get to bed before midnight. So if you find yourself falling asleep after midnight, you just want to adjust your bedtime back 15 minutes in increments, 15 minutes at a time, so you're not doing it all at once, going, oh, I got to get to bed. I'm going to go to bed at 9 o'clock. You're going to lay there for 3 or 4 hours doing that. So you just want to slowly take the time that you normally go to bed and move it back about 15 minutes until you're adjusted to find yourself falling asleep at a good time. Another thing that I see a lot of people do, especially younger adults, now everyone, especially with the way we've kind of, everything's been so chaotic and people are just really pulled into their computers and their phones and everything electronic over the past 2 years, these electronic things produce something called blue light, and this actually decreases your melatonin production. And we hear a lot about melatonin because it's so, so important to your health. And actually, you know, some scientists actually think it's the key to health and longevity. So you want to know, well, how do you keep this melatonin, and what is this melatonin? And it's just a biological molecule, and it's found in all vertebrates. It's in insects. It's in plants. And it comes from an amino acid called tryptophan. That's why when you eat Thanksgiving, you eat this big turkey. Turkey has high tryptophan, so it makes you really sleepy. And there's a whole conversion table. I'm not going to go into that. But basically, when you consume meats, dairies, and some grains, it ends up converting into melatonin. And we all have this little organ located in the middle of our brain, and it's the pineal gland, and it's about the size of a little bean. And what it does, it produces and recycles spinal fluid. And it's kind of like the way the kidneys act as a filter for the rest of the body. This is what it does. It kind of recycles everything, and it plays a big, big role in producing melatonin at night. So when you think about light exposure, this controls the secretion of melatonin. So when the sun goes down, that's the lack of light. That allows the rise of melatonin. And when the light comes in the morning, specifically that blue light, it hits your eyes and it triggers the breakdown of melatonin and stops that little bean-sized gland from producing it. So this is what actually sets your circadian rhythm. And that's the melatonin from that little pineal gland. So when you look at farmers, they went to bed at sunset and they rose at sunrise. They were just set up to do that because that's how their body is actually set up to work. But as you age, that little gland, it's going to start to calcify, and it'll build up like little deposits. And they've linked this to people having associations of the amount of calcification and neurodegenerative diseases of aging. So when that pineal production of melatonin gradually decreases over the course of your life, it actually starts decreasing when you start puberty. And it just ends up going down as we get older. But there's some hope here. The cool part is they've found there's extra pineal melatonin. And researchers have found that it is actually outside this pineal gland. So quite a few of your organs will produce this and tissues. So melatonin is not just limited to that shrinking gland. It's actually going to actually come from your GI. This is why it's so important to take a probiotic like what we have, because you want to keep that probiotic, keep that gut microbiome healthy. It's also produced in your bone marrow, your liver, your spleen, even in your testicles, your placenta, your eggs, everywhere. So it's just skin. It's just all of these places. And they've also found that it's actually, it's a theory right now, but they're saying that all cells can produce melatonin in the mitochondria. And this is just wonderful news because it means we're not solely reliant on that little tiny bean-sized gland that can calcify as we age. So this is another thing to focus on. If your body is healthy, then in a melatonin is made from these different sources, that's really good because then you're going to continue with that production of melatonin. But if you can help yourself not have to deal with limiting your own melatonin by blocking that blue light that comes from all these different electronic devices. And you can also purchase something online. You can go on Amazon, and it's called a blue light. They're blue light glasses. And if you find yourself working at night or you're on your phone, you can put those on, and it helps block out the blue light. So when you go to sleep, you just make sure you want to turn off things that are causing blue light, like TV, laptop, phones, bright overhead lights. And some people go, well, you know, Dr. Melissa, I can't sleep without my TV on. And I'm like, well, that's because you're used to the sound, because the blue light from the TV is inhibiting your melatonin. So you can look at different types of sound, or they're actually different types of noise, and there's a different frequency of sound that will help you sleep. So I personally like a fan. I love to hear a fan in the background, and that's a brown noise. But there's three types. There's brown, pink, and white. And those three types of noises, some people will just love the pink noise. Like I say, I like the brown noise. So you can find out by going online, going on YouTube, or just looking on some research. That there's articles out there, and you just pull up white noise, pink noise, and brown noise, and you can kind of find out through the computer, like, which one actually helps you fall asleep. And then you can start using that to have that noise in the background and hopefully turn your TV off. The other thing is Alexa will also play sleep sounds. So you can ask, say, Alexa, play sleep sounds, and she'll play these sleep sounds for you, and that's free. And that sometimes helps you kind of get rid of the TV that's in the background. And if you can't, obviously, live without the TV, somehow get it where it's covered up, where you don't see any of the blue light, and you can still listen to it. And the next thing you need to look at when you're sleeping is your mattress. According to my friend, Dr. Steve, who's a chiropractor, a firm mattress is better not only for your posture, but it also helps with sleep. If you have a pillow, you have to be careful with pillows because pillows can be too high or they can be too low. So you want to make sure that your neck is not contorted when you're sleeping, because that could also inhibit your breathing, which is linked back to sleep apnea and things like that. And make sure that you can flip your mattress over to maintain that firmness so that you're getting a really good night's sleep on a mattress. And then studies have also shown if you want to keep your room, keep it in a cooler area. Don't keep it hot. Keep it between 60 and 67 degrees. That's also been shown to promote sleep. And develop a routine. People don't realize this. Sometimes people will just sit in their bed and they'll do things. Kids will be jumping in the bed. Things will happen that will make the bedroom not a bedroom. So you want to make your bedroom a special time to relax, and you just want to be able to disconnect. So I advise like deep breathing, which helps your brain kind of wind down. And keep your bedroom as a bedroom. Make it a place for sleep, or I call sex FSAs. If you want to have your FSA, that's your fun, sweaty activity with your significant other. So, but you don't want to have your bedroom a place where people gather in and everyone's talking to you and you're trying to, you know, have board games going on and things like that. You want to have it, make it a place where you are able to disconnect and relax. And you want to keep your kitchen or your living room a place where people go. That's why it's called a living room. A living room's a living room. A bedroom is a bedroom. The other thing you want to do, cut caffeine out during the day. After 3 o'clock, this includes chocolate, which also contains caffeine. And honestly, Kim, while I was doing this, writing this, I was like, oh boy, you know, I'm sitting here eating this chocolate ice cream bar. It was probably like 11 o'clock at night. But anyway, don't do that. If you need a light snack before bed, you just want to use something like nuts or cherries, which are high in melatonin. Fuji apples actually are the highest in melatonin. And you can also use those sleepy time teas like chamomile, ginger, and peppermint, which is also good for your digestive system. But the main thing to remember is, like I was doing, don't eat sugar, which will affect your blood sugar and your hormones that control cravings. And women going through perimenopause, they may find themselves waking up at night because of low blood sugar. So they don't understand, well, why am I waking up every night at 3 or 4 in the morning? Well, there is a gene associated with waking up at 4 in the morning. I'll do that on a different talk. But if you find yourself waking up at 4 in the morning or any time during the night, you want to keep a glass of water and a cup of cherries beside your bed, and you can just take a bite of those. That'll help balance out the blood sugar. And I've also recommended if people start to have a panic attack or anything like that, they can drink 8 ounces of water, which will help reset their parasympathetic nervous system, and it really helps calm you down. Because sometimes, especially women in perimenopause, they'll find themselves going through some weird changes because of blood sugar imbalances, and they can start to have, not everyone, everyone's different. People can have panic attacks. So you want to have resources to deal with those things. And if you choose to use melatonin, I think I was talking to you about this, Ken, metabolize PM. It has wonderful testimonials. And it not only contains melatonin, but it also has like 5-HTP, magnesium, ashwagandha, magnolia bark extract, and wild jujube seed extract. And what this means is it's not just melatonin. It's actually all of these things that work together synergistically to help your body relax and go to sleep. And it also helps maintain optimal sleeping metabolic rates. And that helps your body burn calories while you're sleeping. And it also contains adaptogenic herbs like ashwagandha, which help reduce excess cortisol. So it's doing so many different things besides just helping you sleep. Now, some people will use straight melatonin, and I always tell them they can start out with like 300 micrograms, and if they are older and they decide to supplement with melatonin, I always tell them to look for a time-release formula because that better mimics the body's natural production of melatonin. But it's always good to start with a low dose of anything. I'm all about low and then move up and then increase it over the course of a month or two until you get the dose you want to take. But I'm also telling people don't become dependent or reliant on melatonin because your body will say, hey, I don't have to make that anymore. I'm just going to kind of stop my production because I know you're going to take this excess amount of melatonin. So I always advise people to go on and off instead of using it constantly. And this is why Metabolite PM is such a good option. And if you read Zuma's latest Health Beat newsletter, it's going to give you a really good overview of sleep and Metabolize PM. And it also mentions X2O, and as we know, it has like 70 trace minerals that help alkalize and mineralize your body. So if you're not hydrated during the day, obviously you're not going to be feeling well, you're not going to sleep well at night. And those trace minerals not only support sleep, but as in the article, it talks about brain chemistry, reduces muscle spasms, helps with soreness and restless legs. So, again, X2O is that kind of secret product. It's a silent product that you don't know it's helping you so much until you aren't as hydrated as you should be, and then that's when you start feeling bad. You can also increase tryptophan, like I was talking about. Tryptophan is a precursor to melatonin, so you want to make sure your diet has enough protein, but if it doesn't, you need to actually track the amount of tryptophan you eat, and I think you can do that on an app on your phone, and increase your intake of tryptophan-containing foods like salmon, eggs, poultry, cheese, and spinach. And so those are things that, they're pretty simple things, the things that you may have not heard about. I know you've heard of so many different ways of helping you sleep. There's so much information out there, but those are things that are pretty unique to and a more from a more natural perspective. And last but not least, I have so many patients right now that are coming in, you know, with all the stuff that's going on in Ukraine, all the stuff that's going on just with us coming out of pandemics, they are high anxiety, just ridiculous. It's through the roof. So I always tell patients, if you're really feeling anxiety, obviously, you know, you got to seek the care of a medical professional. But at the same time, you can sit down and write a letter to God and just put all your concerns right before you go to bed on this paper and just give it to him, and he'll take care of it till morning. And if you wake up in the middle of the night feeling anxious, you know, just give it back to him and know that he's there and he's got you and he's not going to let anything happen. And it's just such a it's a good way of cognitively doing something so that you can get that anxiety to calm down and get out. I also provide remote neurotransmitter testing because I see patients actually all over the United States, not just in my office, because we do a lot with our telemedicine. And neurotransmitter testing is a way of checking your serotonin, your dopamine, your excitatory neurotransmitters and your inhibitory ones, the ones that help you sleep, and your cortisol. And I've helped so many patients just with that one test, working in conjunction if they need to with a therapist. And we just really, it's just such a good test. And I also check melatonin levels as well to see where those are in my office. And those tests can be done anywhere as well. So anyway, that's a lot of information, and I think I summarized it pretty good. So Ken, I'm going to let you take over.
And, I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Melissa, you did cover a lot of ground, and I'll just say this because there's not a whole lot else I can add because you definitely covered a great deal of information here. But the one thing I will say is, you know, if you're listening to this call tonight and you know you're struggling with sleep, the goal here is, you know, to try and figure out what is it that's triggering this. You know, a lot of the suggestions that Dr. Melissa has made here tonight are valuable. I mean, you have to look at your whole scenario. It's not just take this magic pill and you'll just sleep. It can be that, I suppose, for some folks, but for a lot of us, it's a combination of many things. But I will say this, and you kind of alluded to this in the early part of the call, Dr. Melissa, and that is, if you're not getting that good, deep, restorative sleep, you are going to suffer health problems if that is a long-term problem for you in the sleep department. And it's just unfortunate, but that's the truth. One of the other things I'll also share with you, of those of you who struggle with losing weight or you're gaining excess body fat and it's difficult to get off, if lack of sleep or poor quality sleep is part of what your reality is, that's also a very big challenge and hill to overcome when you're trying to lose excess weight and body fat, in addition to stress, like you just mentioned, Dr. Melissa. So it affects so many different areas of our life, but getting it right is so awesome. I mean, I feel fortunate as we're on this call tonight to be one of those people that can say, man, I get a great night's sleep virtually every night, but I also have made a lot of wise decisions, I think, just by learning from people like you, Melissa, over the years as to how to make sure that that happens for me. And it's a combination of a bunch of things, including nutrition. So as you pointed out, Dr. Melissa, we've got some great products in Zoom that can certainly help and support from a nutritional standpoint, that sleep, but there's a lot more to it than just that. But boy, that's a great place to start and simple to do if you're a Zoom member. So guys, I want to thank you for being on this live call tonight. We did cover a lot of great information. That's why we record these calls, so you can go back and re-listen if you want, or again, share them with somebody who you think could benefit. But Dr. Melissa, as always, I appreciate you taking your time and your talent to share that with us tonight. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, I wanted to add one more thing in there with exercise. Women typically are ruled by serotonin, so sometimes it's better for women to exercise in the morning, and men are ruled more by dopamine, so exercise at night. That's not true with every person, but it seems to be pretty typical. So if you find yourself not sleeping, it could be because you're exercising also at the wrong time of day. So you've got to kind of keep track of that and make sure that you can figure out the best time. So that it's not affecting your sleep.
Yep, more great advice. All right, Melissa, thank you again for being here tonight. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You have a great night.
Okay, guys, thanks for listening in. And remember, first and third Thursday, so 2 weeks from today, we got another great call coming your way. Until then, folks,
right.
Take care of yourself. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Good night.